And a good afternoon to you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you so much for being on board on a Monday afternoon. I'm in a remote studio this afternoon. We've had some video problems, and we got video, couldn't get the audio. So we're having to use a backup source, so we don't have quite the good audio stream that we had hoped to have. Glad to have you with us. We do appreciate the mercy of the Lord on a cold, rainy Monday afternoon. Let me see if I can get you home right quick. We got a couple of slow spots to tell you about. Go ahead and pull the music out. We are north of Asheville. 26 gets slow in the Woodfin community. And I don't know what's going on there. There may have been a wreck earlier. There doesn't show to be one there now. I think traffic is moving slightly, but it seems to be either down to one lane or something. And for right now, it is up above Woodfin before you get to the New Stock Road exit. That's between there and the Woodfin exit. And it is, again, backed up from there. Actually, it slows down all the way down at the UNCA exit. So quite a backup there on 26 north of Asheville. Also, our other problem spot today is over in the gorge going toward Tennessee. And it's not as bad today as it has been. We're only talking about a couple of miles back up today. We have seen it, you know, as much as always, you know, about 3 or 4 miles. But today it's only a couple of miles. You will get through it. It's just going to take some patience to do so. It's around 276 at the Maggie Valley exit there westbound on I-40. Everything else seems to be doing pretty good this afternoon, actually. Not too awfully bad, and so that's a good thing. There is a little more traffic than I'm used to on 64 coming through the Brightwater community before you get to, and it could be the stoplight, but again, there's more than normal there at South Rugby Road at Horseshoe. Not sure what that's about, but that is a possible something there. And then let me drop off the mountain right quick and share with you that Spartanburg is in pretty good shape. Greenville has its normal problems around Pelham Road, both north and south. And then today, below Greenville, don't know what that is. I see, okay, now it's a car wreck. So I found out what it was. It's a wreck on I-85 southbound. Before you get down to Highway 86, it's backed up past Highway 153. So, it is there at the Powdersville exit. So it is backed up I-85 on the southbound this afternoon. All right, well, let's take a look at that radar. We've got heavy rain approaching our area, and we're going to see the most of it here pretty shortly. And there could be some pretty intense rain at times with this. From the looks of things, this is a pretty big system that's coming at us, and it's kind of dead centering us a lot. You know, some of it's below us, and it has kind of a southern sink to it, but it's still catching us as far as the top of it is catching us. And so we're going to have some rain as associated with that. It is colder than forecasted, and so I don't know exactly what to make of that unless it's going to warm up. Because the forecast low for tonight is we're below it. And so interesting about that, we're at 39, and the low tonight's 41. But that's Asheville's own equipment says that they currently have 39 degrees, and the forecast low for this evening is 41. So maybe it'll warm up. I hope it doesn't get any colder, put it that way. And 39 seems to be consistent. That's what we have at the studio, and that's what we have at Asheville. Also, a little warmer than that, 44 down in Greenville-Spartanburg as we speak this afternoon. And, of course, pretty good rain. And the weatherman says that we've got a large chance of rain for tonight. It's about 90%, actually. Then it's going to be fog tonight, and then tomorrow, 59 for the high, cold rain, 60% chance of rain. And then for Tuesday night, it's 50% chance of showers, low around 50. Wednesday, 50% chance of showers, high of 69, so definitely a warming trend. Wednesday night, 40% chance of showers, 52. Thursday, 40% chance of showers, 68. Thursday night, 70% chance of showers, 50. Friday, 80% chance of shower, a high of 63. Look at this, and it just keeps going. For Friday night, 30% chance of showers, 39. Saturday, partly sunny, finally. 54, mostly cloudy on Saturday night, 35. But Sunday, it cranks up again, 30% chance of showers, 51. Sunday night, 30% chance of showers, 34. That's close. And then Monday, a chance of showers, high near 50. So, yeah, we're going into a very unsettled period here with all of the rain. Thankfully, I kept watching a cold weather situation to the north, but it looks like that the subtropical jet is going to stay north. And as a result of that, we are probably just going to get rain. Could have been a snow event had things been a little different, but as it stands right now, the cold air is staring pretty much to our north, and so no sign of winter yet. It'll happen, but no sign yet. And, of course, as you know, over the past few years, we've had some big snows in the month of December. So it is not only is it possible, it is also probable to have, you know, a pretty good snow in the month of December, at least in recent years. All right, well, the fifth day of December, the general operating budget of Anchor Broadcasting being sponsored by Marshall and Linda Bedingfield, in praise and thankfulness for the Lord's healing power this year. Linda was told she had cancer and would need to have a biopsy. And when they went to do the biopsy on December the 6th, 2021, the cancer was gone. And they're saying, what a big God we serve. And I say, yay and amen. Hallelujah. That's good news. Appreciate the Bedingfields celebrating that good news today. And the network sponsored by the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Nicholasville, Kentucky. And it's an honor and thankfulness to the Lord for their bus ministry. And they cite Luke 14:23. Appreciate that very much. Let me say today that we have twins, okay? We have Sir Epta Arrington from Hendersonville and Susie Hamilton from Tennessee. They are 100 years old today, and both are World War II veterans. What about that? And so congratulations going out to them. Ernest and Edna Brown, they're celebrating 58 years together today, and so congratulations going out to them. And we salute them and wish them many, many more. And, well, let me say, we appreciate all the Lord has done and hope that you had a good weekend. The parades, we did the Brevard Parade, and then also the we had some floats there, and then we had some floats in the – I had a float in the I actually had a couple of floats, a couple of vehicles, in the Rosman Parade yesterday. And I believe the Rosman Parade was as big as Brevard as far as the number of people and the number of entries. And so, yeah, and of course, they got to get them a bigger area because it runs into itself down there at the stoplight. It comes all the way around, stretch around, and runs into itself. It's still coming out of the school, and they're trying to get back to the school. So interesting how that works. And then there's another parade, weather permitting, this coming Saturday, I believe it is. The Little River community will have a Christmas parade. We'll try to get some details on that one as it draws nearer. Well, this morning there was the swearing in of the new officials that were elected on Election Day. And so Transylvania County has a new sheriff, and he was sworn this morning. And then we have a new county commissioner that was sworn in. And, of course, all the elected offices. And then the sheriff's department, once the sheriff was sworn in the county council, he was sworn there, then he went to the courthouse and the judge there administered the oath publicly. And then all of the deputies, you have to be re-sworn under the new sheriff. And so all of the deputies, both active and reserve, all the sworn deputies had to be there. And so they all were there and had the swearing in, and then they did all of the detention center. And so all of the detention employees, they had to be sworn. And then even the telecommunication, all the telecommunication people had to be sworn in today. And so we were there for that this morning, and we congratulate the sheriff, and we congratulate, again, all those that willing to serve, in public service. We appreciate that. So the sheriff of Transylvania County, Chuck Ondi, sworn in today, and so our congratulations. I'm not going to do a full length today, but I did want to mention, you may have heard about it by now, but there was two substations that were attacked by gunfire down in Moore County, North Carolina, that served the Southern Pines area. And last count I had, there were over 37,000 residences without power. And this, it originally was over 40,000. And somebody took a high-powered rifle and attacked the substations. And when they did, they have put people in the dark now, not just for a few minutes, but we talked about this, that, because that equipment is big, it's expensive, and it's not readily available on the shelf. They're saying to many of the folks in that county that they will not have power till Thursday or later. And it's now being investigated, of course, as an act of terror by the Homeland Security, and whether it's just a redneck prank or whether it was a targeted event, there's, I'm seeing some stuff that's unofficial. And so hard to know exactly what the motive was. But I have talked for a long time about how that if our grid system, if the electrical grid was damaged badly and by a terrorist or by vandals or by people stealing copper or by, a lightning or, ice storms or whatever, that because of the way things are right now, there is a shortage of transformers. There's a shortage of transformers. And this is nationwide. There's a shortage of transformers. And so it's not like they just reach and get another one, bring it out and hang it, and everything's back good to go in a couple of hours. And I'm being very serious. Back in the fall, I was talking to a lineman, and we were actually disconnecting. We were up at the cabin. And they were there, the company was there, disconnecting the power from the cabin before we moved it. And he made the statement. He said, well, I was hoping that we were going to be able to get this transformer. He said, but I didn't realize that the well was on it. And it was. The well was powered off of the same transformer that the cabin was. He said, so we'll have to leave it. And I said, okay, well, why was that? Why were you hoping you'd get it? He said, because we had three. Now, I'm talking about the whole company had three. We had three. And I said, had a vehicle run off up at the golf course and total one of them yesterday. So now we're down to two transformers is what we have in stock. And he said, the other company that serves the county is just as bad as we are. And it's to the point that they won't even set a temporary transformer for you to build a house with. You don't get power until you get your final approval. You have to build the house on generator power. That's how bad this thing is. So when you have somebody shooting up, big stuff. And see, a lot of people don't understand that depending on the size of the substation, depending on what section of the substation it is, you're dropping power down. If it's what you would consider I hardly even put it. I guess it sounds like low voltage, but if you took a 44,000 station, which would be roughly similar to what say Rosman is, that station there in Rosman, that station steps from 44,000 down to 7,200 per line. Well, that's and it goes out of there, you know, as three phase, 7,200 three phase. Well, those things last for years and years and years and years and years. They're protected by fuses, and so very little goes wrong with them. And it's rare that a substation transformer goes out. However, they're filled with oil, and they are oil cooled, and so their cases contain oil. But if you take a high-powered rifle and shoot the case of a transformer and all the oil runs out of it, it burns up. And so now you've got a major issue on your hands. And again, these things are not in stock, and they're not even in stock of the company that builds them. Everything today is being built to order. You need it today, we'll build it today. We'll ship it to you, and you'll have it in a couple of days. That's how about everything is. Well, we're talking about extended power outages. So whether it's from an act of vandalism, an act of terrorism, from some sort of natural phenomenon, or from a storm, I want people to really take this situation in the eastern part of the state and examine your situation and say, okay, if the power goes off and they tell me I won't have it back for a week, what am I going to do? And the first question that people would ask in return, they'd say, well, did they not open shelters? And the answer is yes, they did open shelters. I mean, they had close to 100,000 people without power at one point yesterday. And yes, they did open shelters, opened at 9 last night for people to go and spend the night or the place where they had power. And I don't know if you've ever stayed in a shelter or not, but many of the shelters that are opened consist of a Red Cross cot in the middle of a gym floor. And, I mean, I'm just telling you that's how it is. And while it's better than freezing to death, and, you know, the food is, you know, it sustains life. But I know a whole lot of people who would say, well, I can't go there. I can't get up and down. I can't get down onto one of those cots that's right on the floor. I couldn't get up. I can't get down. I've got to have this, or I got to have that, or I got to have the other. Well, this is exactly why that I'm saying to people, what's going to keep you out of a shelter? You need to have a plan, either a backup generator with backup fuel or backup heat, backup way of heating food. You have to come up with some sort of a plan. And you say, well, I can't do that. Well, what about your kids? What about your grandkids? What about your great-grandkids? Do they have the means to do that? So for some of you, the plan is, I'm leaving. I'm leaving home. I'm going to go stay with my daughter. I'm going to go stay with my brother. I'm going to go somewhere else. And that's fine. And it's a good thing for families to talk about that, especially that live in the county together. I mean, it's a good thing for families to get together and talk about this during the holidays. Now, if things were to, you know, if all plans fail, what are we going to do? We're going to meet at so-and-so's house because they've got a generator and they got a wood heater in the basement. Well, that's a pretty good plan. So that's the kind of things that you need to talk about. That's the type of things that you have to talk about. And, you know, if now that this has happened, it has brought awareness to the fact that you can shoot up a substation and cause great problems. And I don't know if you know this or not, but within hours, I mean, it didn't hardly take a full hour in the darkness from this taking place that they began to loot the stores. And, of course, the alarm systems didn't work. And so there were break-ins at gun stores. There were break-ins at Walmart and all the places. They started looting. And, again, that's to be expected in these days. So I want to just use this opportunity to and pray nothing like that happens. But, folks, listen to me. Like right now, you know, the temperature being where it's at, we're 2 degrees colder than the forecast low. That's current. So what if there's a cold band of air that they didn't count on or they missed, and what if it were to freeze? Then what would we be? Where would we be? And, of course, with the rain that's coming and had a heavy ice storm, we have not had a heavy ice storm in years. Now, if you'll remember, several years ago, we had a big ice storm right before Christmas, and some people did not get their power back on until Christmas Eve. It was that bad. I had a funeral that was postponed because it was so bad. And we went a full week or maybe longer without power because of this ice storm that hit in the month of December. Last year, I believe it was. I think I'm right. I believe it was last year or the year before. An ice storm hit the Pigeon Forge, Sevierville area, and they were without power all during Christmas. The whole Christmas weekend, they were without power. I talked to people over there, and it was terrible because they were without power for Christmas because of an ice storm. So whether it's natural or whether it's man-made, we need to think about what we're going to do, have things that you can eat, have ways of staying warm, have ways of getting water, and how are you going to do that if you have a well? How are you going to get the water up out of the drilled well? So these are all things that you need to make plans for. And I've said this a lot of times, but I want to say it again. If I had money in the bank or groceries in the pantry, I'll take the groceries. If I had my druthers. If I had money in the bank or fuel in the tank, I'd always go with fuel in the tank. If I had money in the bank or a generator sitting outside, I'd go with the generator. Okay, for those that can afford it. And, you know, there's really three ways kind of to think about generators. You can get a little generator that they're quiet, they're don't use much fuel, and little inverter generators. Now, they're not real powerful, but they will keep a refrigerator from thawing or a freezer. They'll run one thing, basically. That's how you have to think about it. They'll run one thing. But you still could charge your cell phone. You could watch television, or you could, run a refrigerator and a lamp, something like that. Those can be put out in the yard, and you just run a cord in the window. Close the window tight. Make sure it's far away from the house. And you can do it that way. Those are fairly easy to set up. Not real expensive and not real complicated. You run a extension cord to it and run it in the door or through the window, close the window, and then you plug things into it one at a time. You can go a little bigger than that, and you can go to where the ones that you see like at Lowe's and places like that you pull start, a lot of times they're around 5,000 watts. Those will run basically 1 220 item. So what's 220? Well, your stove is 220. Your dryer is 220. Your well pump is 220. Your water heater is 220 if it's electric. Now, your heat pump is 220. But a lot of times those small ones won't run a heat pump, especially if they go on strip heat. If you're thinking about having to heat your house and you're relying on the heat pump, I wouldn't count on that. They'll run a gas furnace, an oil furnace, but the heat pumps, if it kicks into defrost, chances are that little generator will not run your heat pump. Okay? Now you're looking at a much bigger device to do that. And then, so with using those, people do wire those into the house, and they use cutoffs and either or, and then they turn breakers on and off to power their 220 stuff. Well, how do I take a bath? Well, you turn your pump on and run your water tank full of your hot water heater full of water, and then you turn your pump off, and then you turn your water heater on, get it hot, and then you turn your water heater off and turn your pump back on, and you take a shower till the water gets cold. That's how you do it. Kind of inconvenient, but it beats not having a shower at all. And so that's kind of your intermediate, and you can get those for under $1,000. If you want to get one of the small ones I'm talking about, their inverters are more expensive, but I've seen generators as low as $400, $500, the smaller ones. The intermediate size that I'm talking about, they're $1,000 or less. Now, if you want to go whole house, you say, well, I want it to kick on by itself. I want everything I've got to be able to use it. Well, you probably need to get someone to come out and do a professional installation. And I would recommend that you either hook it to natural gas or propane gas, or that you, if it's diesel, then you use a diesel. But that gets expensive. They are expensive. When you get those big ones like that to run an entire house, you are looking at a pretty good size, pretty good size unit. And so, but there are ways of doing it. One of the problems with the bigger whole house units, if you're on propane gas, we were doing the calculations the other day on a 30,000 watt propane. Now that sounds like a lot, but actually that's not that much. Okay. 30,000 watts sounds like a lot, but your house probably pulls, it probably pulls that much. And, I'm talking on my phone, so I can't do the calculations on it. I can run the math on you and show you what I'm talking about. But the idea behind it is that I was going to set a 120-gallon tank and set it for a 30,000-watt generator. We got to doing the load calculations on it, and at full load, that thing would only run 30 hours on 120 gallons. It would suck the bottom out of that tank in 30 hours. So it'd give you just over a day if you were running it full tilt. So, that's not good. And, of course, if you've got a great big propane tank, I mean, the biggest ones, are like 500 gallons, but typically that's the least ones. And then today they're setting like 320s, I think is what they set a lot. So you don't have a lot of runtime, not like you'd think. When I got to doing the calculations on it, I was a little bit put out with it. I thought it would do better than that, but it actually didn't. So anyway, just a word to the wise about making preparations. And I'm not a prepper, and I'm not talking about trying to survive the tribulation period. Now, if you're not saved, you might ought to make some allowances because you're going to be here. But for the redeemed, I don't believe we're staying. I believe we're leaving, and I believe the Lord's coming to get us, and we're not going to have to worry about that. But the problem is we don't know how far, how bad things are going to get between now and then. We don't know the day of his arrival. But I do know this. Christ referred to as lightning cometh out of the east, that he referred to that, the coming of the Son of Man. Well, one thing about lightning coming out of the east, lightning generally does not strike out of a clear sky. It generally clouds up and thunders before it lightens, before it gets to you when the storm's coming towards you. Well, there's a lot of rumbling on the horizon, isn't there? And there's sure is a cloudy day. I don't know how far out we are, don't know how far the storm is away, but there's a storm coming on this earth like it's never known, like it's never seen. And so we need to be ready spiritually for that. And then for those that are not ready spiritually, my friend, your troubles are just starting. And so we're asking the Lord to help us in these days. Get our hearts right with God, trust Christ as Savior, and also help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need the hand of the Lord, and we need the Lord's intervening hand in and on our behalf. Amen? All right. Well, let me say to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. We're working on the purchasing of a building in La Paz, Bolivia, South America, and we're doing money transfers, and we had a gift come in to complete a purchase, and so we're excited about that. It will be the first independent Baptist church building that's been owned by the congregation. It's the first ever in the business district downtown in the capital city of the country, La Paz. It's the first. And we're glad that we're thankful for the name. It's Anchor Baptist Church, Iglesia Bautista Ancala, La Paz. And so we're very excited. It was founded by missionary Stephen Fanning, and we're thanking God for provision to be able to finish purchasing this building and get this congregation meeting there in this new facility. We're excited about that. That's just one of the things. God's doing several things. And so we bless his name, and we appreciate all the Lord's up to. Things have calmed down in Bolivia, and so the Murrays are going to be heading back. They'll be heading out of here, I think, Thursday morning, and they want to be there for Christmas, their third church building. They want to dedicate it. They think they're going to have it finished. They're going to have their first service. They want to have the dedication service in celebration of Christmas. And so they're so anxious to get back, and so we're going to be praying for them. We're glad they came out. I believe they should have come out. And they needed it just all the way around. But we're also asking the Lord to do great things in their return as they go back into a country that has been full of political turmoil and all sorts of problems, and praying that God will use the Murray family, as he has, to bring about salt and light in that semi-communist country. Okay? All right, a number of needs, a number of situations, a number of things. The Lord knows all about it, and asking God to show up and show himself mighty. Would you pray with us? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and help us to be found faithful. Lord, we need you. We need the hand of God. We need the mind of God. Lord, we need to know, Lord, what our reaction should be. Lord, I know what my flesh wants to do. Lord, I know how I, as a man, as a father, as an American, I know what my feelings are. Lord, I want to be a Christian, first of all. I want to be a dedicated believer, and I want to glorify you in my actions and in my reactions. So, Father, help us, I pray, to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And, Lord, I pray that you would help your people, Lord, as we all face uncharted waters in these troublesome times ahead. And so, Lord, we pray and ask God your will to be done. We ask it and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Well, today's my only day on Drive Time this week. I'll be heading out. It's our anniversary, and so we'll be heading out for a day or two. And so we appreciate Brother Eddie and Brother Brian, pastors that will be stepping in and doing the program for us Tuesday through Friday. And so till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, I'm Pastor Randy Barton, and may God richly bless you, is our prayer.